Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues for one more hour. Yeah, we started the new Showtime tonight. Isn't that neat? It seems like we get one show in at the regular 8 o'clock time now. And then tomorrow, I'm sure it'll be a late night start because of the Cardinals game. And by the time the Cardinals game ends in the extended post game, I don't exactly know what time we'll get on. But either way, I will be here right after the game. And you better believe the first thing that I'll be talking about when that show starts will be the St. Louis Cardinals. And I better get your reaction to that big game tomorrow. You better not go anywhere else. I mean, honestly, I should be here telling you that the only place to listen to the game is KMOX and you shouldn't even bother this or that. I don't care how you listen, watch the game, whatever it is. After the game, you're not going to find any better coverage than KMOX. You're not going to get all the interviews like you would anywhere else. And then you're not going to be able to get the reaction by calling in anywhere else either. So don't go anywhere. Tomorrow after the game, listen to it on KMOX. If you watch it on TV, flip it over to KMOX towards the end of the game or after the game, because I look forward to hanging out with you after whatever happens. And then if you miss this announcement, I've been only talking about it for a week. Where have you been? Overnight America starts at 8 o'clock, which is kind of cool. We do a 4-hour show up until midnight. So this is hour 4 for us. And then after midnight, we replay 2 hours. So we replay the first 2 hours of the program. So if you're used to listening to Overnight America after actual midnight, you'll still get that. It'll just be a tape delay of earlier in the show. So you'll still get a lot of entertainment. And boy, do we get a lot of good stuff for you. This hour, our friend Josh Campbell, he's going to talk about his new book called Crossfire Hurricane. He was someone that was in the FBI. I ask him a lot about Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, what was going on behind the scenes with those two lovebirds. I also talked to him about James Comey. I talked to him about Donald Trump's involvement in the FBI and how they felt the outside pressure from him. He's got a lot to say. So he's a former FBI agent. We're going to get his take on everything that went in, not only to the investigation of the Russian investigation, but also the Hillary Clinton investigation. And his book's called Crossfire Hurricane. What a great name for an operation. Like, that was the code name into the Russian investigation, Crossfire Hurricane. I would love to be the person that comes up with some of those different names for the FBI investigations. Manic Redbird would be the operation that we have tomorrow in Atlanta. No, maybe Manic's not the right one. Here's a couple of text messages that came in, because right before we went to break, we were taking some calls. If you could say something to the Cardinals right now, you know, what do you think the Cardinals need to hear before that big game? One person said, play Here Comes the King theme. That would be a good one. That's something I enjoy. I remember I was in the car. My wife and I and my son, we were going to go get some of that frozen yogurt, and we were listening to opening day, them playing that theme song for what seemed like 20 minutes straight when they brought everyone out. And, you know, they bring the Clydesdales out and do things like that. It was really cool. It got me all pumped up listening to it in the car. Here's one. Make the Ninth Symphony D944, the official song. Okay. That'll get them pumped. Yeah. You're playing some old classical music, eh? Let me get to Wayne, who's calling in from St. Peter's. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Good.
Calling in about, I grew up on a small farm,
mm-hmm.
and we raised our own cattle and pigs and all that. And every time we had one, we gave them a name.
Yeah.
But we, it was understanding that we knew that when it came time, we butcher them to eat them.
Did you ever butcher a horse?
No, but I was traveling.
Yeah.
I went to several meetings over in France and ate a lot of horse meat.
Is that right?
It's a little bit sweeter than beef, but it's nice and lean and tastes good. I mean, I have no problem. We spent a couple of years in Saudi Arabia,
mm-hmm.
and ate a lot of camel.
Wow, really?
Really good.
What does camel taste like?
Camel is very lean. Tastes like hamburger if you ground it up.
Really? Just the same?
Yep, and...
Have you ever craved a little horse meat after trying it?
I would eat it again.
Yeah?
Put that way. No, I didn't crave it, but I mean, it's unwrong. You know, an animal is made to serve you and to eat if you want to, you know?
But you
I mean, that's the way it is.
But we're not talking about an animal that was meant for slaughter. I mean, this is a pet. This is their pet that they were using and eating.
That's a little different, isn't it? If you give little calves and little pigs names, and it comes time to slaughter, you slaughter them.
Yeah, but this is like...
Send them to the market.
I see on a farm, a horse is more like a dog, and it's you wouldn't eat the family dog.
I don't know.
I hope you wouldn't.
If I got hungry enough, I would.
Have you ever had dog before?
No, I haven't, but I said if I didn't have anything to eat, I might do that.
All right, Wayne.
A lot of things you had to.
I know, if you had to. All right, thanks, Wayne.
Yeah. And I'm still living. It's been probably 20 years since I ate horse meat and camel, and I'm still living, so I guess it's okay.
All right. How about that? Thanks, Wayne.
Okay, buddy.
I wonder if you can buy horse meat somewhere in St. Louis. Is it even legal? Can you do that? I don't even know if it's legal here. What was that one dog food company that was getting in trouble? Or no. It was it IKEA with their meatballs? They were putting horse meat in them. One of the companies got in trouble. Maybe I should throw the word allegedly in there so I don't say the wrong company name. Get in trouble. No, I think it was. So there was a company that most recently got in trouble with that, and even sometimes the dog food companies get in trouble. And people go crazy if they find out there's horse meat in something, right? You don't want to get caught with horse meat here in the United States. It's a big no-no. Now, obviously, you should never send death threats to an 18-year-old because they ate the family horse. But this is what I know mostly. If you have a horse in stable, you're pretty well off. Like, poor families don't have pet horses running around, right? Right? So you got the money. You're doing it because you decide to do it. Horse people are just weird to me in general because, you know, they talk, horse whisperer talk and things like that. But I thought they had so much love for that animal. It was like such a higher love that you would never even consider eating the horse when it's done. I like how Wayne, now, he would never say this on air, obviously. I wonder if there's people that have tried horse in different countries or camel in other countries and have woken up and said, man, I could really go for some horse right now. I wonder if there are people that crave that sort of thing. They just enjoy that little sweeter meat. Oh, boy. 436-7900 is the number. Or 800-925-1120. I need to look online and double check some of those things when it comes to horse meat. Yeah, you got to be careful. I'm pretty sure you can't even get that here in the United States, the forbidden fruit. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
KMOX is St. Louis's news, talk, sports, radio. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America. You know, during the break, producer Mike, what did you say? You said it would be more common. You think people would eat their dogs if given the option they would decide to do that? Is that what you told me? Hold on. I want you to mention what you said to me during the break. I was kind of surprised by. What did you say about eating dogs?
I just said if a dog provided as much meat as a horse, I bet you would have heard about it by now. But it's not worth it because they're smaller.
Yeah, and I said, I don't think people would be eating their dogs. And you said, you're naive.
I think that's naive to think no one would if it provided as much meat as a horse would.
What?
You said no one would. I think is crazy.
No one would eat their dog. This is America. William calling in. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, this was kind of in reply to the question if you were in a foreign country and had some type of meat like that and then woke up the next day and thought, wow, that was really good. I want more. I had two instances. I was in the service for 20 years. The first one was in South Korea, and we were in a little compound out in this rice paddy on an exercise, and this little ajima, old Korean woman, would come and sell these things called yakimandu, and they were these little fried, kind of like a pot sticker, and it had some meat on the inside. Mm-hmm. Well, long story short, it was really good. We probably knew what was in it, but we kind of ignored it and kept eating it. And the other was when I was stationed in Central America. I don't know if it's true or not, but there would be salesmen outside the bar at night when the bars would empty out, and they would sell these pieces of meat on a stick, you know. And it was kind of known that it was monkey meat or some kind of subpar.
Yeah.
So everyone would always eat these things as well.
Monkey meat. What was on the first one you talked about that you kind of suspected what was on it?
A dog. Dog was really big.
Oh, dog! Well, yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
sure.
South Korea, yeah, and I'm sure probably in North Korea, but
yeah.
Anyhow, this lady that would sell those, she would actually process some of the dog carcass right there in this little shanty-type thing made out of tarps. And there was one day she's sucking on these bones. There was an older sergeant with me that happened to be married to a Korean woman, and he told me what she was doing. She was actually sucking the marrow off out of the dog's backbone. So we're pretty certain that the other part of the dog was being put in the food she prepared.
Wow, that's just too much for me.
I don't know if it was because we were young or just willing to try something new, but believe it or not, it was good. So,
oh, William, don't say that.
Yeah, that
you crave it
that
now.
That has happened to me. Oh, heck, no. No.
Okay, there's no craving.
There's a lot of things back in them days that I just want to ignore. So.
Yeah, you can say, you know, you tried some of these things, but you know what? I'd rather have a McDonald's hamburger over any of that stuff any day. You know, yeah, like there's nothing that would be readily available here that you would toss aside for another monkey stick.
Right. And then, you know, in Peru, guinea pig's a delicacy.
Oh,
so. Really?
Huh. All right.
It is. So,
well, thanks, William. Good to hear from you.
Weird things. All right. Good night.
Ugh, sucking the marrow out of a dog backbone. What? Ugh. Ugh. My father-in-law did a mission trip to Africa, and he noticed that there were no birds in the sky. Well, food's pretty scarce in some of these areas. Anything that moves and that could be cooked, man, they find it, they hunt it, and they do that. They cook it. All right. Bill's calling in from Oklahoma. Hi.
How are you, sir?
Good.
The most inhumane critter walking the earth is man. Horses go back decades and decades, even centuries, as being a very useful tool. Horses moved the settlers west. I don't know if you knew this or not, but you can Google it and find out. Verify me. Between 7 and 8 million horses, burros, and mules died in World War I. Serving the militaries.
It's interesting. I guess I never would have thought to make a head count on something like that.
More of them died in the World War II. Have you ever seen the movie War Horse?
No, I haven't. Well, you know what? Yes, I think I have seen that one.
It'll make you a believer in how valuable horses are. But anyway, long story short, I live in Oklahoma, and when I was a kid, I had an old mare. She was about 20 years old when I got her. They were going to just, kill her. And I said, well, I'll take her. And I rode her around for 4 or 5 years. And she ended up staying on the farm there.
You sound like you have a mustache and you would ride a horse, that just based on your voice.
I actually have a mustache and beard. But anyway, it almost seems like man has never come to appreciate what dogs and cats and horses actually do for us in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they're more valuable, and I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but I think they're more valuable than humans because they never question an order. They always do as they're told. And if you go online, you look up Soy Dog Foundation, that's S-O-I,
mm-hmm.
and then D-O-G, Foundation. It's a group in Southeast Asia
mm-hmm.
who's attempting to close down all these dog meat farms.
Mm, okay.
And every year in April or May, the city of Yulong, China, mm-hmm. actually has a dog meat festival.
Okay.
And I've spent a lot of money trying to get that thing stopped. A lot of money for me, anyway.
Well, not only, you remember when the Olympians were over in South Korea, many of them tried to bring dogs back with them after being confronted with the different shops that had them hanging up in the windows, you know?
Yeah, it's truly a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, Bill, we gotta go. But hey, thank you for calling in.
All right, thank you. Go Cardinals.
Go Cardinals. All the way from Oklahoma. I love that. Wow. Yeah, I guess there is a long history of horses here in the United States. I can't imagine raising a horse like a pet and then slaughtering it to eat. I just can't imagine that. Juan in St. Louis. Hi.
Hi there. How are you? I can't imagine slaying a horse. I had a Palomino that I loved so well. Nancy was her name. And she was just the epitome. We both grew up together. We were both kids and grew up together. And eating horses, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
No. No.
What about
no.
Dogs?
Potted meat, maybe.
Wait, what kind of meat?
You know, potted meat, I might have been. Potted meat is kind of a conglomeration of different things,
oh,
too.
Is that what it is? Okay. Yeah, I haven't heard that term.
Potted meat, but to say that you're going to eat a horse, you know, and I know the old jokes and premises, you know, of, hey, you know, go have a horse, or I'm going to eat my horse, or whatever. Horses are beautiful creatures, and they need to be loved.
Wait, how is that a common phrase? I've never heard the phrase, go and eat a horse. Have you? That's a common phrase?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it from my, you know, forefathers. Eat a horse. Go eat a horse. I go, like, why would you say eat a horse? And I've got a horse in the backyard.
Yeah.
Know? I mean.
Okay. All right, Juan. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you. God
right.
bless.
Yeah. I might start using that phrase. Oh, go eat a horse. Jonathan, hi.
Yeah, I think the phrase was, I'm so hungry, I could eat a horse.
Oh, yes. I've heard that phrase. I've never heard go eat a horse, but I'm so hungry, I can eat a horse. Sure.
And I think Chris Christie in New Jersey, the governor of New Jersey, was, I think he signed a bill to outlaw horse slaughter for human consumption.
Mm. In New Jersey?
I think that was in 2012.
Huh. I didn't know that was a state regulation. I thought that would be the FDA, just a federal regulation.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that myself. I have two horses, a pony and a donkey, and I have no desire to eat any of them.
No. So a donkey counts as a horse? It's not like its own classification.
It's an equine.
Yeah.
It's an equine.
Well, I learned some things here.
He's an ugly little fella, and he doesn't smell very good, so I can't imagine the rest of him.
What's his name?
Well, usually I call him Balaam.
Okay. I was hoping for, like, Cronky or something. All right, thanks, Jonathan.
Well, there you go.
All right, bye. Cronky the donkey. Oh, I cracked myself up. 436-7900. You can call or text that line, or 800-925-1120. I don't know if we have time to bring in our guest, Josh Campbell, in, because I recorded the interview with him earlier because he couldn't stay up late. And I know how much time it takes to play this interview. I might have to save this for tomorrow. It's a really good interview. How about this? Let me mention in the first couple of hours, we had some awesome guests. Chris Edmond, we had him on to talk about his dad, a World War II hero. Imagine learning things about your dad you had no idea, including that he was a prisoner of war during World War II. He was put onto a train into the middle of Germany, put into a concentration camp, where he was confronted with the realization that they were going to kill people, American soldiers that were Jewish, and how did he stand up to the Nazis to protect their lives? Really amazing story. We also had Jane Blasio on, who has a series on TLC that'll be on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night called Taken at Birth. She was one of the children that down in a really small Georgia city, There was one doctor there that would basically take these kids. So let's say a couple went in, they go into childbirth. The doctor would lie and say, I'm sorry, your kid died as part of childbirth. But really, the doctor was selling the kids to these rich families. She was one of the kids that were sold. Imagine learning this when researching your birth parents. Wow. So apparently, this happened like 200 times. 200 times. So the TLC special goes back and looks at these instances, at least some of the families they were able to find. And we talked to her. Both of those instances you can find on the podcast at KMOX.com/ONA. Or you can listen back when we do the replay hours after midnight. You'll be able to catch both of those on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
It just feels really weird right now because this is the end of hour number four, roughly. We go till midnight, and Overnight America now starts at 8 o'clock, except when it doesn't. So like tomorrow during the Cardinals, of course, the Cardinals will play first pitch. St. Louis time is 4 o'clock. So after postgame, extended postgame, hopefully extended celebration postgame, I might not even get on till regular time anyway. You never know. So Thursday, there is NFL on KMOX, so I won't be on at 8 o'clock then. But starting next week, we'll be right back to the regular start schedule, 8 o'clock for Overnight America, bearing the schedule for the Cardinals if they advance and win, and I'm hoping that's the case. I'm really hoping that's the case. We're going to have to move our guest into tomorrow. So Josh Campbell, we'll have him on tomorrow night. We'll talk about the FBI and some of the things that happened behind the scenes during that James Comey time. There was something I played earlier, but I didn't get a chance to play Senator Roy Blunt's reaction to Ellen and George W. Bush down in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. They were there to watch the Cowboys take on the Green Bay Packers. And in attendance was Ellen DeGeneres and George W. Bush. And part of which is a video that Ellen put out. She's a pretty positive person to begin with in the sense that I've seen a lot of interviews of people that have talked to her, and they really revere her for her ability to take things from a comedic standpoint. She's more of that classic comedian style. She does things for the sake of comedy. She's not like the really bitter, angry Colberts and the Kimmels of the world that go up there and you can just tell that they divulge into hatred all the time and they just stew in it, so it's got to show in their performances. Ellen's not like that. She's done some questionable things in the past, but internet went crazy when she posted a video of her sitting next to the former president, George W. Bush, watching the football game out there. And people thought it was crazy because George W. Bush is a Republican. Ellen DeGeneres is someone that is a well, prominently displayed LGBTQ advocate. And she may be one of the higher profile because she's on television. She's very well liked. And she's also someone that they look at as an ambassador. So when she sits next to a dirty Republican, people went crazy in that community. And she had to actually address it inside of her show. The way she addressed it was very classy. Let me play this for you.
But during the game, they showed a shot of George and me laughing together. And so people were upset. They thought, why is a gay Hollywood liberal sitting next to a conservative Republican president? Didn't even notice I'm holding the brand new iPhone 11. And but a lot of people were mad, and they did what people do when they're mad. They tweet. But here's one tweet that I loved. This person says, Ellen and George Bush together makes me have faith in America again. And I'm friends with George Bush. In fact, I'm friends with a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. We're all different, and I think that we've forgotten that that's okay that we're all different. For instance, I wish people wouldn't wear fur. I don't like it, but I'm friends with people who wear fur. And I'm friends with people who are furry, as a matter of fact. I have friends who should tweeze more. And I have... But just because I don't agree with someone on everything doesn't mean that I'm not going to be friends with them. When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone.
Wow, what a novel idea, honestly. There's a few people that I follow online that take that sort of mantra, and they're not on the right. And one of those people is Dave Rubin. He's someone I interviewed on the show. He was down at Stiefel Theater. He was doing a performance there. He does speeches, right? So they come out and they do a speaking tour. He was touring with Jordan Peterson. and he was the opening show. Now, he's someone I followed for a long time. He was on Larry King's outfit for a while when Larry King had his own network before he went off and did his different other network. He was also on the Young Turks, which is about as far left as possible. And he's someone that left the Young Turks because they realized just how terrible they were. So, but he's someone that's still a liberal, but he's also someone that goes out there and says things like this. When he goes out and to speak, he tweeted this regarding the Ellen DeGeneres statement. Missing the broader point, yes, Ellen and George W. Bush can agree to disagree. That's great. The bigger issue is the only people who can't do that these days are the woke progressives. No conservative, libertarian, or true liberal was upset by this. It's not a two-way street. I go to conservative events and talk about differences. They actually want that. Libertarians love to debate every little point and disagree endlessly. Classical liberals have long balanced freedom in government. Then progressives called everyone racists, and here we are. Says, I mean, is there literally one person on the right upset that George W. Bush sat down with America's favorite progressive lesbian? Of course not. But Ellen was attacked by her own enough to have to make a statement. That's the point. That's what Dave Rubin said. Good for, you know, and it's worth pointing out. It's worth pointing out. Why would anyone attack someone for sitting down next to a former president of the United States? Now, think about if it was President Trump or whatever. You can tell that there'd be a lot of backlash, sure. But let's look at George W. Bush. Are you kidding me with this right now? You know who was on Mark Reardon's program earlier today? It was Senator Roy Blunt, and they asked him about this.
I think that just shows how irrational so many people in the country have got about civilized conversations with people they don't agree with finding somebody you agree with, maybe a substantial part of everything they do, and there's just one or two things you decide not to talk about. People in a functioning society have been doing that forever, and it's a terrible shame if we can't get back to where we can find something we admire about somebody and still disagree dramatically with some of the things that they, some of their opinions. There is nothing at all wrong with that, and it's what makes democracy function, frankly.
Ooh. Is that what we see too often? On this program, we talk about sometimes political things, not always, but we talk about political things because it seems to be one of the biggest topics in America. So when there's something popular or going on. Now, it's not like if you listen the past 4 hours, how much political talk did we actually do? The only political talk we actually did was, I think, in the first hour, one person called in and specifically brought up something political as a caller. That was it. I mean, okay. So I think that when we do bring it up, I like to hear different voices. I like to hear people call in with different ideas, and I'd like to have those discussions. It doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you, and it also doesn't mean I'm going to not challenge you on some of the ways you think. A lot of times people call in and challenge me. I like that sort of thing. That's the way we have these discussions. It doesn't mean that at the end of the call, you're going to get banned forever if I disagree with something you say. Now, you'd have to say something really stupid for you to get banned forever, but that happens every once in a while. Yeah, it happens once in a while. But here and again, I just like to have these sort of conversations. And there's a lot of people that listen to this program frequently who call in and disagree with me and disagree with my beliefs and the things that I've said. But we still have those conversations, it seems like, you know, every couple of weeks, which is good. But anytime you hear this radio program, keep in mind, you're always going to be welcome to express yourself whichever way you express yourself. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Well, boys, today we need to pray for meatballs. Buy a few frozen ropes and keep that line moving.
Overnight America. That was producer Mike there with his motivational speech to the St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow. I'm a little bit nervous about tomorrow's game. You know, I'm in a tough situation because I didn't grow up as a Cardinals fan. I didn't grow up with the culture that is involved with St. Louis when Cardinals are in the playoffs. I haven't lived here. This is the first time I've lived here since they've been in the playoffs. I've been able to witness the games online. I've never really watched the games before. You know, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I got to tell you, I get so emotionally involved when I see Yachty hit something and go nuts. You see the way he tossed his bat up after getting that long to the warning track hit at the end of game four? He threw his bat so high into the air, I'm pretty sure it hit a hawk. Got it right up that high. It was amazing to me. And to see his face and to see him go crazy, I think, wow, that's the type of energy. Have I been missing that my entire life? That is something magical. So tomorrow's game, it's in Atlanta. Chris Raby's down there. Is Tom Ackerman down there too right now? He's not down there. Chris Raby is, though. Well, game five is going to start tomorrow during Mark Reardon's program with the pregame. So you're going to be able to catch it on the radio tomorrow at 11:20 a.m. And then when the game starts at 4 o'clock, first pitch, you can listen all through the game on 11:20 a.m. here on KMOX. When the game is over, you're going to be able to listen to the postgame, which includes getting reaction from the locker rooms. Claiborne's going to be there, and he's going to be talking to the guys on the field. You're going to get instant reaction from the manager, Mike Schilt. You're going to get it all. And the only place you're going to get it is here on KMOX. And more importantly, the place that you want to hang out after the game is here on KMOX, because I'll be on immediately after getting your reaction to the Cardinals game, and I cannot wait to talk about it tomorrow. I got a lot of emotions, and we just went through this roller coaster ride of the St. Louis Blues, and that was pretty exhausting. The ups and downs and the thrills of them winning the Stanley Cup for the first time was pretty remarkable. I want to see it again. I want to see what it's like when the Cardinals do it. Wouldn't that be great for St. Louis to win two championships in a year? I got to say, if you're a player and you're not motivated just by the pure effort of Yadier Molina, I don't know if anything will motivate you. I want to see Waino start another game in the playoffs. I want to see him get up there and see what he can do. It was magical. I mean, I brought my kid over and I said, you're watching something great. You don't understand. He's 38. Doesn't mean anything to him, but it means a lot. It means a lot to see something like that. So good old St. Louis Cardinals tomorrow on KMOX. Do not miss it. Since we started the show early, I've already talked about this before, but I feel like I need to say it about 8, 9, 10 different ways. The reason I'm doing that is because it's new. It's our first day starting at 8 o'clock. So the new schedule for the show, and people have been texting me about this, what's going to happen after midnight now that you start at 8 o'clock? It's a little bit weird. We have a flexible schedule, so there's going to be some days where I don't start at 8 o'clock. Like Thursday, for example, we have the NFL game that the KMOX picks up a package of certain NFL games. But we also have like Cardinals tomorrow, which will probably delay the start of the program. I'm going to guess we're not out of the game coverage by 8 o'clock, considering post-game and everything that'll go with the celebration after. Let's hope for it. So there will be days I'll be live after midnight, but on a typical day when we start at 8 o'clock, I'll go until midnight live, and then midnight until 2 o'clock will be a replay of the first 2 hours of the program. So every night there's technically 6 hours of Overnight America, even though the 2 hours that you hear after midnight will be recorded on the days I start at 8 o'clock. So in the next hour, this is what you're going to hear. We're going to talk about the time change. You're going to hear people make fun of me for not making a new pot of coffee as I try to reacquaint myself with the etiquettes of office life. We're also going to talk to Chris Edmond, who talks about his dad. His dad, a World War II veteran, a World War II hero. He learned a lot about him through his research, things that surprised him. And, you know, his dad lived a nice long life after the war, but some of the things that happened during it, never talked about it. So we're going to talk to Chris Edmonds about that. Also, after 1 o'clock tonight, Jane Blasio has a series coming out on TLC, the cable network, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. It's called Taken at Birth. It describes what happened to the Hicks babies down in Georgia, where a doctor would literally take these children against the will, or some cases telling the biological parents that their kids died in childbirth. And then he would sell, AKA, he called it adoption, but he'd sell these kids to like wealthy families across the U.S. He did that for 200 plus babies over the course of a couple of decades. She was one of those babies. She's going to tell her story, what it was like learning about this. It's truly, truly remarkable story. We'll do that right after 1 o'clock tonight on Overnight America. All right, that does it for us. Kind of feels strange playing this early, but this is normally our end of the show song. I think we're going to keep that tradition going. We'll see you tomorrow night. Go Cards!
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.